if you could flip on those lights over there, right next to you. Tonight's just going to be an introduction. We didn't really inform all the people in Chutz Lars that we're starting. There you go, perfect. So we're just going to do some introduction, understand a little bit about who the Baal HaTanya was, what the Baal HaTanya was trying to accomplish in writing the Sefer, and understand a little bit more. And then we're going to do a small introduction to the beginning of the very first parak of Tanya. So first of all, one of the people that has made a big influence on my life is on the phone here. His name is Yisrael Meir Perlow. He's the Talmud. The bottom is hot, the top is not, because the top will turn afterwards. So just be realized it's a little complicated. There's a whole story about the Baal HaTanya with the Lakshan on the bottom. Surely you know that story, the Baal HaTanya with the Lakshan on the bottom?
I do not.
It's from you. I heard it from Yishver. Akitzer, the chalant on the bottom is hot. The chalant on the top is not hot. Just so you guys should know that, okay? I'm going to make a bracha. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nihyeh b'dvarecha.
Amen.
Okay, just so you should understand, the Baal HaTanya was the Baal HaTanya was one of the very first Chassidish Rebbes. He was a Talmud of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, and he was a Talmud hold on a second. There's the Toldos Yaakov Yosef and Surely, help me out here. Who's buried? Who's buried to get the Mezrit Tamagid? That's it. The Mezrit Tamagid. Spoons. There should be spoons here somewhere. Obviously, try not to spill if you could. If you did, we did. But if we don't, see if we could accomplish that. Hashem, a lot of work going on here before Yom Tov. So the Talmud of the Mezrit Tamagid. The Mezrit Tamagid had lots of very chashuv Talmidim. Amongst the Talmidim was Reb Zusha Me'Anapoli. The Mezrit Tamagid is buried next to Reb Zusha. In a town called Anapoli. He had a Talmud named Reb Elimelech Milezhensk, who was Reb Zusha's brother. He was a Talmud Baal HaTanya. He had a bunch of
that
big...
That was his Talmud?
Yeah, the Baal HaTanya is a Talmud of the Mezrit Tamagid, yeah. And the Mezrit Tamagid was the one that really kind of like made the Baal Shem Tov's Torah accessible. The Baal Shem Tov started Chassidus, and his Talmidim were the Toldos Yaakov Yosef and the Mezrit Tamagid. And then came the Baal HaTanya, so he's right there. He's literally... like second generation. He was someone who perpetuated the legacy of the Baal Shem Tov. What was the Baal Shem Tov trying to accomplish? There's some people that say the only two Hasidus that are really left are, anyone could guess what they are?
Breslov.
And Lubavitch.
Was Lubavitch a Hasidus then, or is
that... Well, Lubavitch is called Chabad, or Lubavitch. Those are the only two real Hasidus that really have the flavor of the Baal Shem Tov left, which is why some people actually are misnaged to Chabad and to Breslov. Why? Because they say Breslov Hasidus, it's not really Hasidus. You know, there's a joke they make about a very wealthy man who hired a son-in-law. He in his dowry, he said that he's going to give him a fleishig meal every single night. Right? And son-in-law, you know, he got married and he was getting mamish good fleishig meals. Anyway, the father-in-law was going a little bit through rough times. So his next son-in-law, he made him a deal that he's going to give him a milchig meal every night. No fleishig meals, milchig meal every night. So the mice of the son-in-laws couldn't sit at the same table because unless they had placemats, but they couldn't sit at the same table because one's eating fleishig, one's eating milchigs. The kids' business kept on going down and down and down, and suddenly the chalent was just beans and barley, and the milchiks was really just. After a while, he told them, "Listen, you guys, you can eat at the same table. It's nishkin fleishiks, nishkin milchiks, zas the zelvazach. Just eat at the same table." So chasidim, isnagdim, give me a break. You have we're pretty litvish, and here we are learning Baal HaTanya, and you have the. I remember we had once the yeshiva had the Rav Matisyo Solomon made a fabreng. So at the time, the yeshiva had a chabura with the son of the Toldos Avraham Yitzchak. Toldos Avraham Yitzchak, the Mashiach's coming. If the Lakewood Mashkiach is making a fabreng. Matisyahu loved it. He loved it. He was laughing. He was like, the Lakewood Mashkiach is making fabrengs with Nigunim. And in Ger, they learn like Festa Torah and like, Nishkin fleishik, nishkin milchik, gonish min gonish. But maybe it's geblieben by the, we left over by Chabad and by Breslov some of the original Hasidus. Interestingly enough, I don't know if you knew this, but Rabbi Nachman himself, there was a decent amount of resistance to Reb Nachman himself. He had a person who maybe we could even call it his enemy. Obviously, it was the Shem Shemayim, but there was someone who was very against Rabbi Nachman. Anyone know what his name was? The Shpoila Zeda. The Gro is against all Chassidus. The Shpoila Zeda was against Rabbi Nachman, and Rabbi Nachman was suffered from it. Who was the person that got up in defense of Rabbi Nachman? See if you could guess. Guess again. Right. Excellent. The Balatanya, in a certain way, saved the reputation of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman was known. Rabbi Nachman did some very, very irregular things. Rabbi, you could open these up if anyone wants some candy or anything like that. Make us. There's no mezoinus here, but there's a eitz, the shahakol. Maybe there's some hadama. I don't know. Get to what? Yeah, it wasn't working so well before.
Chabad is branch off of Breslev?
No. Chabad is not a branch of Breslev, but they both have similar flavor. They're both, you know, there's a lot of Hasidus, much less of a focus on learning Eon, learning different Svarim. Like, for example, there's a quote in here that one of the Chabadska Rebbes said that learning Tanya is like learning Chumash. Right? That's not regular. You don't have that. And really, in Kemat, any other Hasidus. The only other Hasidus that's similar is Breslov, where they're learning Likute Maran, Likute and Sipure Maisius, and it's like most of the Hasidus beyond. You learn Gemara, Rashi Tosfos, you know, and you learn Abyssal, you know, there isn't any real beyond Svarim. It's not like a big hop. Right? Most of the Hasidus, you know, the Svarim are secondary. In Lubavitch, Tanya is Mamish. They have a thing. What's it called? What is it again? What is it? Yeah, Chumash, Zelim Tanya, Torah Tanya, something like that. It's like the Tanya goes together with Chumash. We're not going to get involved in. We're not going to try to stay away from anything that might be politically charged. But let's get going over here.
Right?
No, we don't do that.
Not a reporter.
Definitely not. Okay. So, but what's going on is over here. A person very often has a struggle. This is, we're learning now, psicha to limud sefer atanya. A person very often has a struggle. And his struggle is to try to figure out what his identity is. Who am I? I did this exercise once, which a bunch of boys in the summer, we have that summer ben azmanim experience. I asked them, describe yourself. I asked everyone to write down a piece of paper, describe yourself. Different people have different descriptions. I'm tall, I'm smart, I'm good looking, I'm from Brooklyn. Only people from Brooklyn say I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn. And then some people describe themselves as I'm kind, I'm thoughtful. Are you describing your neshama or are you describing your goof? And then some people like describe themselves like, you know, I live in a big house. Then they're like, they're not describing themselves, b'chlal. I wear nice clothing. I mean, give me a break. But truth is, wear nice clothing is really what your goof is. Your goof is really, in a certain way, your clothing for your neshama. And that's a struggle to figure out our identity. And we could say from today to tomorrow, I am my neshama. But the fact is, when a guy goes in and gets all that type of fancy schmancy hair thing, and he's like, oh, this, so then he's really saying, I am my goof, and I'm forgetting my neshama. That's the struggle that we have. It's figuring out, am I my goof or my neshama? And that is that what a person has to remember, that he be'etzem is his neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a goof in order that he should be mekayim mitzvahs with his neshama. So the limud of chasidus, and this is the nakuda, and listen carefully. The limud of chasidus is to create dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what, if someone wanted to define chasidus, create dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and talk about what the Vilna Gaon and Reb Chaim Volozhin had against chasidus. Limud of chasidus is to create dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not musar. What's musar? What is musar? Refining your quality. Person gets angry a lot. So works on anger. Person makes rash decisions. A person has all different types of issues with confidence. Musar is refining your character. Chasidus is being davek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what was Chaim Volozhin's issue with that? He says, you want to be davek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll tell you how to do it. There's one way to create dveikus. Where does dveikus come from? From learning Torah.
Can you say dveikus also comes through refinement of your character? saying through refining your character and being like Hashem, you're getting closer to him.
Yeah, but that's not the focus. That's not the discussion. The discussion of Mussar is not, Rabbi said, we're going to make a lechaim on some vodka over here. Just because this stuff is horrible, but it's just.
Maybe in the old country.
This stuff is horrible. I enjoy that. Let's not start with that right now.
It's
not a yeshiva rule, though, right?
The Chaim Rabbi Sain. Okay, Rabbi Sain. So let's keep going over here. So listen to this, Rabbi Sain. This is very, very important. Because I honestly believe, and a lot of people believe, that the problem was Chassidus was being misunderstood. The reason why the Vilna Gaon was willing to allow Chassidus to be put in Chayrim, he put the Chassidim in Chayrim, is because the Vilna Gaon was not allowed to meet with the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya asked for a meeting with the Vilna Gaon, and his close people did not allow it. Now, I'm not going to get into why he didn't allow what it is, but the Baal HaTanya, you know, people made Chassidim as if they don't care about Halacha and all that. You know the Baal HaTanya wrote a sefer called Shulchan Aruch HaRav? He wrote a sefer called Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is Shulchan Aruch. It's the same Shulchan Aruch. You know, a few added things here and there, but he's super machmir in halacha. The Baal HaTanya is super machmir. So it's not like, Chassidus didn't care about halacha. What did they do? He wrote two epic works, the Baal HaTanya. One is called Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and the other one is called Tanya. So he says over here, there's two nekudas. There's one is as follows. We say in the Pasuk, HaNistoros LaShem Elokeinu VaNiglois Lanu LaVaneinu. Niglois is the way that the Torah expresses itself. Halacha. That needs a Shulchan Aruch. We need to know how to deal with the way the Torah expresses itself. And there's something else. There's the Nestoras LaShem Elokeinu. That's getting into the Dveikas in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's getting into the depths. That's learning the things that Mamish, it's more shayach to learning things like Inyanam of Kabbalah, Inyanam of Nistar. Said the Baal HaTanya, that also needs a Shulchan Aruch. That also needs a Shulchan Aruch. So he wrote the Sefer Tanya. Okay? These are the two. So he put both of them on the map. Chassidus didn't mean to ignore Halacha. It just meant to also focus on Dveikus and bring and to try to bring the two of them together. That was the point of the Sefer HaTanya that he wrote. And the Baal HaTanya, he took it upon himself, this matara, for this to happen. So in the Shar HaTanya, he writes the following thing. The Sefer is miyusud on the following pasuk. It's established on this pasuk. Kikarav eilecha hadavar ma'oid b'ficha ubilvavcha la'asoysay. He's coming to show how is it karav eilecha hadavar ma'oid. We feel so distant, so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How is HaKadosh Baruch Hu close to us? That's what the Sefer Tanya is really coming to try to address. Now the Tzemach Tzedek said the following thing. He's a grandson of the Baal HaTanya. Listen to this beautiful. This is really something. He says, Tanya is Oisiois a son. Tanya a son. Yoras ha Eson Sheben Nechama b'chol mashahu. Eson means strong one. Now we have this in davening. Zochor ahavas Eson. Vaben Anekar is davening on Yom Noroim. Eson is strong one. So said the Tzemach Tzedek, who is the grandson of the Baal HaTanya. He said that Tanya is the same Oisiois as Eson. This Sefer is called Tanya. That's what it's called, right? Look at Tanya. Eson, it's just in different order. Eson means you want to bring out a strong neshama. You want to bring out the strength in your neshama. You learn Sefer HaTanya. That's a Chassidish Avart, right? Wrong. A lot of time, I'm learning to have new appreciation for Chassidish Avarts. It's a Rajbi. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wasn't Chassidish, by the way. He was a Tana. Listen to this. It's a Zohar. The Zohar says, Tikune Zohar, Eson Behipuch Asian Tanya. Eson and Tanya are the same letters, just in different order. It's a Rashbi. Yeah, the word Tanya. The word Tanya. So the Baal HaTanya chose Tanya as the name for his Sefer. Tanya is a Gemara. This Tanya is a Gemara. Tanya is Oisiois Eson. Okay? So now listen to this fascinating thing. I would say something you probably didn't know. The Rebbe called his Sefer Likutei Amarim, or Sefer Beinanim. He did not name the Sefer Tanya. There's no such Sefer. The Sefer is called Likutei Amorim. That's the name of the Sefer. Or Sefer Beinanim was the first prakim, Al through Ches. All of Klal Yisrael decided to call the Sefer Tanya. You ask, go into a swarm, so say, can I have Likutei Amorim? They won't know what you're talking about. And he's asking for Tanya. Why is it called Tanya? Because the very first word in the Sefer is
Tanya.
Tanya. But listen to this. Listen to this. The very beginning of Tanya starts as follows. Tanya, Mashpian Oisoi, Te Tzadik Valti Rasha. There's a Braisa that says, we make a Shvua, be a Tzadik or don't be a Rasha. And don't be a Rasha, right? Right? There's a Braisa, right? So it says, Tanya, there's no such Braisa. It doesn't exist. Why did the Rebbe start his Sefer with a Tanya that there's no Tanya? The answer is the Rebbe, this word Tanya is a big word. He was coming to say, that's why the Olam chapped on the word Tanya. Because there's no such Tanya. He was saying that there's Eson here. There's something that's going to happen. There's a process we're going to go through when we learn this Sefer that's going to bring strength to our neshama. We're struggling. Am I my goof or my neshama? My goof's pretty strong. I mean, a lot of us got big, strong goofs, right? What about our neshama? Got wimpy little neshamas and big, strong goofs. I guess what? You want to make your neshama Eson? Learn Tanya. That's what we're going to try to do. And that is, and interestingly enough, the Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, when he started, it's called the Idra, Sefer Idra, which is also part of the Zohar, he started it with the word Tanya also. And the Arizal writes, he writes, start with the word Tanya, because Tanya is Eson. Okay. So listen to this story to understand that, for example, that the Rebbe didn't just write Tanya, the word Tanya, and it wasn't a Braisa. It wasn't a mistake. The story is as follows. The Rebbe's brother, the Balatanya's brother, one time walked in, and he saw the Balatanya sitting there, and he had on his table paper, and in his right hand he was holding not a pen, what they used to write with?
A quill.
His left hand was holding his head. And he saw that he was sitting there, and he was focusing and concentrating. And we looked up at his brother, and he said the following thing. He said, this is the third week I've been sitting here trying to figure out if I should add the letter Vav to the sentence or not. I've been sitting here for 3 weeks trying to figure out. Sitting on the letter Vav. Here. He said, but for this Sefer Tanya, I could spend even 7 weeks thinking about what to write. Just one word. Just one letter. That's the way he wrote the Sefer Tanya. It was written with so much thought, and he put so much into it that every single word. That's why in Lubavitch they say you can be medayik in the Tanya like a Rishon, because the Rebbe Mamesh, he wrote the entire Sefer which with so much thought. It has here in this Sefer Askama from the Reb Zusha Mianapoli, who, as we mentioned, was a contemporary of the Balatanya, and other Askamas. We're going to start now Perek Aleph Sefer HaTanya. How long ago? What? I think more than that. I think, what? 270? 250, 270. There we go. Starts the Sefer. What's the first word?
Tanya.
Mashbiyin oisoi. We make you make a shavua. Rabbi say l'chaim, l'chaim. L'chaim. Eiz Hashem na'aseh v'natzliach. Mashbiyin oisoi. We make the neshama make a shavua. Tehi tzadik v'al tehi rasha. V'afilu kol olam kulo oim l'cha tzadik ata. That's what it says. Make a shavua. Make sure you're a tzaddik, not a rasha. And even everyone else says that you're a tzaddik, and you think you're doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty okay, right? Everyone says you're good. You should be in your eyes like a rasha to make sure that you're way on the other side. Now he asks some questions. Now it might take us a long time to get some answers, but we're going to develop thoughts along the way. Tzarech lehavin, tatnan, ba'alti rasha b'fnei atzmecha. V'gam im yiyeh be'einav kirasha, yeyro levav v'yotzei v'lyochol avar Hashem b'simcha tov levav. It says, a person, you have to understand, the Mishnah says, al ti rasha b'fnei atzmecha. A person should not be a rasha should not consider himself to be a Rasha. So how can we say, even if the whole world tells you that you're a tzaddik, Yehu be'enecha kerasha, you should be in your eyes like a Rasha. So you're not supposed to be like a Rasha. And now the Rebbe is going to launch into a whole new understanding of what's a tzaddik, what's a Rasha, and what is a Beinoni. And it's very, very novel. This Sefer is called Sefer HaBeinoni. The Rebbe is going to explain that we're all really Pachas HaYoyser Beinonim. And to understand, I guess we lost that contact. To understand, what does it mean to be a Rasha? What does it mean to be a Tzaddik? And how should a person be in his eyes, like it says over here, Tzorch Lahavin Atnan Alti Rasha Bifnei Atzmacha. If a person is in his eyes like a Rasha, he's going to be sad. He won't be able to serve Hashem. A person feels like broken, he feels down, he feels like, what's the point? Right, I'm going to get him anyway, so like, what's the point? I might as well just, you know, cash in, at least have a good time. And I get there, and I like, you know, I sweat all the way, and like, you know, take the elevator down, like, wow, forget it, that was all for nothing. Chas v'shalom. V'im lo yira lo levavoy. So manafshach, either he's going to get broken, he's going to get all depressed, that's one thing, or the other way around, like we mentioned, just say, I might as well just have a good time. I'm a Rasha anyway, right? So let's just party, right? So either way, thinking of yourself as a Rasha doesn't seem like such a good idea. Acha'inyan. Kihine matinu b'gemara hechalukos. You find in the Gemara different types of different categories. There's tzaddik v'toivloi, tzaddik v'raloi, rasha v'toivloi, rasha v'raloi u'beinoni. Like I said, we're having some issues over here with our paper. You got to turn it off. Yeah. Pirush Gemara, tzaddik v'toivloi is a tzaddik gomor, rasha v'raloi, rasha tzaddik v'sheinu gomor. It's okay, don't worry about it. It's all part of being in Russia. See, this is from Russia. So get some of the cold on your back. You know, like, I feel like I'm in Siberia. Akitzer, he's going to explain, there's an age-old question of what's tzaddik v'raloi, Russia v'toyvloi, or things like that. And he says there's a difference in tzaddik gomer, tzaddik sheinu gomer, which is also, he's going to give some really fascinating insight into what does it mean a tzaddik gomer. And this gets into some of the things, that the ideas that we saw in the Piyasetzna, in the Chovas Talmidim. There are very definitely similarities, things that we can draw from one or the other. But this is going to be the discussion which we're going to get into over here. How is it possible a tzaddik v'ra'lo? So he says tzaddik she'eino gomer. What does that mean, eino gomer? Does it mean that he's not doing the right thing? This doesn't mean that. He could do 100% the right thing. So we're going to get into this. We just wanted to do a little bit of a psicha. That's what we did tonight. And Beis Hashem, hopefully, next week we're going to continue. We're going to really get started off properly. If the Olam wants to come back, anyone who'd like to be here is welcome to join us. We'll have more seats, hopefully more challenge. We're going to present properly. But do me a favor and tell Sammy Weingartner. Sammy here?
Yes.
There he is. Tell Sammy if you're coming to the kid, because, you know, I want to be able to take care of the Olam properly. And Beis Hashem, hopefully we will continue next week. Thank you so much. Bracha Achronah.